Imagine this now. You're going to confession and you hear this kind of question from your confessor. Are your prayers, alms, and religious activities done more to hide your sins and impress others than to please God? Have you loved relatives, friends, or other creatures more than God? Have you had doubts about Scripture, the sacraments, the Last Judgment? That's a sin against the first commandment. Have you questioned God's power and goodness when you lost a game? Have you muttered against God because of bad weather, illness, poverty, the death of a child or a friend? That's a sin against the second commandment. Have you skipped Mass on Sundays and holidays without a good excuse? That's a sin against the third commandment. Have you insulted or cursed your parents, forgotten them in their old age, wished them dead? Have you insulted, cursed, or wished the clergy dead? Have you failed to offer prayers, give alms, and endow masses for people who have departed? These are sins against the fourth commandment. There's a long litany of questions that can drive you increasingly to anxiety and fear. Right? Each one of these sins can get you in hell. And you've got to make sure that you root them out of your heart, or else you're going to die in a state of mortal sin rather than a state of grace, and then there's no help for you. One medieval penitent, a woman named Marjorie Kemp, who wrote an autobiography about this, describes how when she tried to bring a secret sin to her confessor, he started berating her, terrifying her, and she literally went crazy. She had apparitions of demons, and she was sort of tormented for a year until finally she had a vision of Jesus who comforted her and said, "Daughter, I want you to know that your confessor," she had a new confessor by this time, pleases me very much when he assures you that I love you." That's what Luther calls the gospel. So, think about this focal point of medieval piety, late medieval piety, which is now a different sort of piety from that Augustinian paradigm that we ran into in Anselm. It's the art of dying well. That's the center of it. There's actually books written with that title in the late Middle Ages, The Art of Dying Well. You're about to die, and you have, well, these manuals about the art of dying well will picture you being surrounded by demons who are probing your conscience, saying, "Ah, did you do this or that? You have some mortal sin there. Why don't you despair and curse God and come with me to hell?" It's understood that in the moment of death, everything in your life is put to the test. And the devils are going to be tempting you. They're going to be assaulting you. Luther uses the word Anfechtung here, the German word for assault. The devils assault you, and this is not just Luther, this is late medieval piety all around. You're lying on your deathbed, and there's woodcuts of this, and these devils are probing your conscience and trying to get you to despair of the mercy of God. Because you know you're about to face that judgment, and do you really have the grace you need? Have you really lived well enough? Have you really merited? Well, at that moment, any ordinary medieval priest will give you the advice, don't trust in your good works, trust in Christ alone. That's advice that was there before Luther. Don't trust in your good works, they're not good enough. Just trust in Christ alone. That's what you've got to trust in at the moment of death. That's the only thing that's strong enough, that's good enough to get you through the terrible trial of death. Well, that's, I think, the matrix for Luther's theology, the late medieval matrix. It's the moment of death, where your conscience is at its most terrified. It's most anxious. It's wondering, what can I hang on to? Where can I turn? Let me mention one particularly terrifying thing. There's nothing worse than sudden death. Sudden death. Because you want to be able to confess your sins before you die, right? So if you have any of those mortal sins that will condemn you to hell, you can get rid of them by confessing them and receiving forgiveness. Sudden death is awful because here you are maybe harboring resentment of your parents or hatred for the clergy in your heart and you haven't had a chance to confess your sins, and then you die. Suddenly, someone stabs you in the back or a thunderbolt comes from heaven and kills you, and you've got this mortal sin. You haven't had a chance to cleanse your soul. You haven't had a chance to get to a state of grace. And now, there's no help for you. No matter how many masses they say, you're toast. It's gone. So, there's this anxiety, this uncertainty. How do I know I'm in a state of grace? And especially, what am I going to do if I suddenly die? Luther's gospel addresses that anxiety in a powerful way, because Luther himself felt it in a powerful way. As we will begin to discover as we acquaint ourselves with the life of Martin Luther beginning in the next lecture.